chapter 26. And we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And if some of y'all need to move around at this time, please feel free, because you've got me all out of kilter. There's Dennis and Paul over on this side, and there's Ned and Debbie back there, and I'm just all a mess this morning. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, Isaiah chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. The great prophet Isaiah, writing concerning the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, states, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth this the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Praise God. And I want to preach just for a few moments this morning on the subject of our strength, Jehovah. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Lord Jesus, how I thank you for the presence of God that I feel and have felt descending on this place. And Lord, today as we're congregated, we don't know what this next year is going to hold. Father, we don't know specifically the events that are going to transpire in each of our lives. Some events are going to be glorious. Some are going to be hurtful. But through it all, we have the joy and peace of knowing that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is in control. And Jehovah God, our strength and our peace, we dwell in His hand. And our future is safe and secure in Him. Lord, bless us with this knowledge today. Give us a fresh revelation of the glorious future and the peace that we possess in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Just praise Him, church. I feel His power and His presence falling on this place. Lord, let your peace and joy flow like a river today. For the joy that we have is not of this world. And the peace that we have that passes all understanding cometh not from man, but from Almighty God. And we praise you today, Lord Jesus. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. In 1691, just outside of London, England, the battle was raging between state-ordered religion and some precious few who had gotten the revelation of justification by faith alone. So hot was the battle, and religion being the vile instrument that it is, the Queen of England ordered that those who would not submit to state-ordered religion be beheaded. And in the House of Commons, there was a dear saintly lady who you don't read a lot about in history. Her name was Lady Jane Southwith. And she had received the revelation of justification by faith alone. In other words, that we're made righteous before God, not based upon our performance or upon our works, but by faith in Jesus Christ shed blood and His atonement on the cross of Calvary. And as they drug her to trial, she refused to recant her faith, stubbornly, yet in a Christ-like manner, holding to the truth, telling them, "I cannot renounce my Lord and Savior and His great salvation." To where finally came the day, the decree came down that she was to be beheaded. Not one tear did she cry. And she, in effect, sang the songs of Zion, history records, and sang songs of praise as she was led to the gallows that day. And they gave her one last chance as she laid her head on the guillotine block. Will you renounce this Jesus Christ and admit that you're saved by obeying the Church of England? And she said, I cannot deny my Lord and my Savior, who has given me such peace and joy in what he's done for me by giving his life for me on the cross. And she gently laid her head down and turned, and her last words were, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And she was martyred for her faith in Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot, as we look to the coming year, there's a lot we have when looking in the natural that would strike fear in our hearts. The United States of America, as Ravon and I were discussing over the holiday weekend, we feel, and I feel, is no longer the nation that it once was. It hasn't happened overnight. Perhaps events in recent history would make it seem so, but it's been over a protracted amount of time that the United States of America has rejected Jesus Christ. And the fault of that must lie squarely not on the secular world, but on the shoulders of what purports to be the Church of Jesus Christ. Because by and large, the churches in America will no longer preach the real gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll preach everything but Christ and Him crucified. But when it comes to that salient truth that runs from Genesis to Revelation in this book I hold in my hand, they will shirk their responsibilities for the applause of the world and for the gain of filthy lucre. But thank God there's still some few who, like the dear lady in England, are going to refuse to believe another gospel. And they're going to set in their heart and hold fast to that which is true. And they're going to know a peace and a joy from Almighty God like few people will ever know. Because God is going to sustain them. With all that we have to fear in the coming year, this economic crisis that has enveloped our nation and the world. It was said one time, I read in the Wall Street Journal, that if America financially catches a cold, the world catches the flu. America has pneumonia right now, economically speaking. So you can only imagine what that's done to the rest of the world. If you look in the natural at events like that, they strike fear in our hearts. Perhaps some of you might be in fear of losing a job or losing income or your businesses that you run, failing in some capacity and you not having enough money to run them. But what the Holy Spirit, I believe, would have us to look to this morning is not the events and not what's transpiring in the world, but to look unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, who is able to sustain us and to keep us no matter what is transpiring in the secular world. Jesus is able. Hence, the greatest fear, if we should fear, the greatest fear we should have is simply this: getting outside of the will of God for our lives. Because if you get outside the will of God, then you're in real trouble. That should be our greatest fear. Are we in God's will? Are we in God's will? And that's much more simple than it sounds. You hear something like that, and immediately our mind clicks to specific events in our life. But I'm talking in a very broad sense, and I believe God talks in a very broad sense many times about being in His will. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about, where's your faith? Where is your faith? What are you trusting in? And if your faith is in Jesus Christ and what He's done for you on the cross, then you're in the will of God. I want to say that again. If your faith resides exclusively in Jesus Christ and His shed blood for your justification before a holy God, you're in His will. You're in His will. Oh, to be sure, there have been times in my life I've made mistakes and little nuances and gone down paths I shouldn't have gone down. But if your faith doesn't change in Jesus Christ and what He's done for you at the cross, the Holy Spirit is operative in your life. And He's going to pull you back and set you on the right way. He's not going to let you go too far off course because your faith in Jesus Christ is right. And that allows Him full operation into your life. And even when we get in self-will sometimes, as we all do, the Holy Spirit will reach out and throw something in your path or get your attention in some form or fashion to turn you in the right way and to get you going the right direction again if we will not in stubborn human pride rebel against Him and kick against His gentle leadings. Hence, you can be sure that if your faith is in Jesus Christ, you're in the will of God. And if you're in the will of God, that carries with it a tremendous amount of benefit. Somebody once said, serving God, the pay ain't much, but the benefits are out of this world. How true that is. How true that is. Your greatest asset, child of God, is your faith in Jesus Christ. Because that faith guarantees you a future. That faith guarantees you hope. That faith guarantees you the assistance of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That faith guarantees you a perfect and unabiding peace no matter what you're called to face. How could somebody gently go to the guillotine and lay their head down knowing in a moment that their life in this world was going to come to an end? It's all because of what the great prophet Isaiah wrote. He shall keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. If your faith is in Jesus Christ this morning, that your mind stayed upon the things of God. And God is going to keep you in His perfect peace. That means, child of God, like the old hymn says, what have we to fear? If we lose this life, if for some reason we leave this world today, the very next conscious thought we have, we will be in the presence of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We will inherit eternal life. We will inherit the fullness of God's promise. And we're going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. He's coming back to this earth again. And you're going to be a part of His government. That's why I can confidently tell you, and the Word of God confidently promises this morning, your future is secure in Jesus Christ. You're guaranteed His peace no matter what may come this next year, no matter how difficult the trial, no matter how intense the difficulty. He will give you His peace if your faith is in Him, and that peace will allow you to go through anything that this world throws at you, because there is no defeat in Jesus Christ. There is only victory in Jesus Christ. There forevermore will be nothing but victory in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's how He keeps you in perfect peace. If you keep your faith anchored in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What a simple, simple request of God, from God, to receive all of His glorious benefits. Some may be worried, how am I going to make it? And we've all been there before, if we'll be honest. Lord, how am I going to get through this? I don't think I can face this, Lord. Well, I tell you, I've learned in my own life, and He's teaching me more all the time. Something comes up, and we go, oh, Lord, I'm not going to make it. And then gently the Holy Spirit begins to work. And He begins to remind us, have you forgotten who I am? Have you forgotten whose you are? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we don't know what we can face until the Lord shows us. Hallelujah. And I'm here to confidently tell you, the Holy Spirit wants this put across this morning. If you're in His will, you're going through. And you're going to make it. and victory is going to be yours. And there is nothing in this world that can rob you of that victory. As long as your faith remains in Jesus Christ, as long as your mind is stayed upon Him, He's going to keep you in His perfect peace. This world may be falling apart, but your feet are planted on a firm foundation in Jesus Christ. And God is going to shake the heavens and the earth. He's doing it now. He's going to shake the foundations of everything that man has built. And it's all going to crumble. But to those who have their faith in Jehovah God, Jehovah our peace, Jehovah our deliverer, Jehovah our rescuer, Jehovah our deliverer, hallelujah, you will not be shaken, but you will stand firm, not because of your own ability, but because of your faith in Jesus Christ, and your feet are planted on a solid rock. Therefore, you can look joyfully to your future today. You can look confidently to your future today. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, because you have a glorious future. You have a future that's full of promise and hope. You have a future that's full of glory. You have a future in eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that is joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. And it's all because of the cross. It all comes through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I never tire of declaring the cross. I never grow weary of saying it's because of the cross. Hallelujah. Because through that cross comes every promise. Through that cross comes every bit of help. Through that cross comes peace. Through that cross comes joy. Through that cross comes your next payday. Through that cross comes your next promotion. Through that cross comes every bit of help that any of us are going to receive. Therefore, I will glory in the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give Him glory this morning. That's exactly what Isaiah was talking about when he prophesied those words. He will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Hallelujah, what a promise. You're being kept by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when you're in His perfect will. Now think of that. That's who's keeping you. Now that does not mean that in this life, that at times we're going to have to go through some very, very trying circumstance. Dear Lady Jane had to lay down her life for her faith, but the Lord kept her in perfect peace. Now think of that. We'll never know how powerful God's provision is until we have to believe Him for it. Now that don't make nobody shout, I know. Because we want everything to be easy, don't we? We want a gospel that, really, now let's be honest, in our fleshly way, we want a gospel that tells us that God's going to give us everything we want, we're always going to be happy and healthy, never have any kind of difficulty. Not so to those who truly have their faith in Jesus Christ. Over the past few weeks, I've often recalled the words of the great A.W. Tozer when he wrote concerning God's care of His children. And he said, he has observed that those whom God loves the most are oftentimes those that He allows to be treated the most roughly in this life. Have you ever felt like, Lord, I don't want You to love me anymore? You've loved me enough this week, Lord. But the fact being that when He takes us to wit's end, when He takes us to the end of ourselves, it's a good thing. Because when He takes us to the end of ourselves, it forces us to take our focus off of us and throw it completely onto Him. And that's His objective in every circumstance, in every difficulty, in every fear that He calls us to face, is to show that in us, in and of ourselves, there's nothing. But in Him, we have everything. In Christ, we have everything. You know, by the way, I want to share with you, I didn't get my ShamWow for Christmas. I even dropped the hint in messages to hopefully, but to no avail. But even though I didn't get my ShamWow, I've still got Jesus. Amen. And you can keep your ShamWow. I want his power. Amen. Not that there's anything wrong with ShamWow. Don't nobody get mad at me. And if you call in the next 20 minutes, Ravonna, you still have time. Now, don't that crack you up? Those guys on those commercials, we can't run this offer all day. You got to call in the next 20 minutes. It's on at like 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. I'm getting off topic here. Yeah, that's right. Then it comes on again 5 minutes later. They reset the clock for you. But if you're in the will of God, no matter what you have or don't have, you've got Him. You've got Jesus. And He's going to prove to you through your darkest hour and through your pain that He is exactly who He says He is. He is the Lord of glory. And He's able to give you His perfect peace and sustain you through the darkest hour of your life, that He alone is enough. He alone is sufficient. And that your knowledge and your faith in Him is totally and completely sufficient to carry you through. That's why your future is bright this morning. That's why your future is full of hope today. No matter what your circumstance is, no matter what you're facing in the natural, keep your mind stayed upon Him. Turn inward. Turn from the inward focus and turn outwardly, looking to Christ and Christ alone. And let His perfect peace flow through you in a way that will sustain you on the darkest day of your life. You know, as Pastor Brian and Jennifer so beautifully sung about it, it's only those people that are in difficulty that need this grace. This grace. And God gives us this beautiful presence, this beautiful peace through grace. There's not a one of us that deserve it. No, not one. There's none righteous. But on the basis of our faith in Jesus Christ, God meets out to us His perfect peace. I don't care who's in the White House. All that matters to me is who's in my Father's house. And I know Him. And I know Him. And I know He holds this world in His hand. And the same one that holds this world in His hand is holding on to you and I this morning. That's peace when you know that. That's peace when you know that your future's not tied to Wall Street. That your future's not tied to decisions made in Washington, D.C., in the White House. My future and your future, predicated upon our faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, is secured on the basis of faith. And then He gives us grace. He gives us things we don't deserve. You know, when we cry out for grace, what we're crying out for is the strength we need to get through whatever we're facing. And it's always undeserved. It's always undeserved. And what should that create in our hearts? It should create in our hearts thankfulness that, Lord, You are enough. And He showed me time and time again that He's enough. He's enough. Greg Browning's an awful hard study. And the Lord's had to take me up and down a few of those rough mountains to start getting it through me. But I'm finally getting it. I'm finally starting to see what I believe for maybe over the course of 3 years now, He's been trying to get me to see. Is that I'm enough for You, Greg. I'm enough for You. If You lose everything You got in this world, I'll still be there. If everybody in this world turns their back on you, I'll still be there. And I'll still be holding you up. And I'll still be cheering you on. And I'll still be giving you grace. And I'll still be giving you peace. And I will take you through anything because you're my child. I've got a stake in you. I went to the cross for you. I shed my blood for you. I rose from the grave for you. I'm coming again for you. That is God's promise to each and every one of us this morning. That's how He keeps us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed upon Him. Because when your mind is stayed upon Him, you're thinking how great it is that my sins are washed away. How great it is I have victory. How great it is I'm one day going to dwell in the mansions of glory. Somebody give Him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a source of great peace. And the way God has to take us to get us to come to that revelation, realization, because of our human pride and our human dullness, it almost necessitates He do it in a rough fashion. I'm sure Lady Jane, had she been asked even days before her beheading, "Can you go and lay your life down for Christ?" she might have said, "I don't know if I can do it or not." I believe more than likely she would have. So it is with all of us and whatever God may call us to go through. Days or even moments before it happens, we may be thinking, "I can't do it. I can't go through it. I'm coming apart. I'm falling apart." But then all of a sudden, grace comes. And the Holy Spirit begins to operate and empowers and enlightens us. And then we realize in Him, we can do it. We can do it. I wish the Lord would do it differently. I really do when He takes us that way. Because in the midst of the struggle, until His grace fully arrives, we always think we're not going to make it. Every one of us, we feel like, "Oh God, I can't take another ounce of this. I can't make it another day. I can't go on another step." And a loving Heavenly Father, because our mind is stayed upon Him, looks down from heaven and is saying, "You're going to make it. I'm going to see to it. And I'm going to give you just right now the right amount of grace you need to get you through this, because I want your eyes and your mind stayed upon Me, spiritually speaking." And then we make it. We make it. And we look around us. And we see that the damage we feared the most is not there. The thing we feared the most, He brought us through. And we're still doing okay. And we're all right. As I begin to close this message today, and here's everything I've said has been leading up to this, I want you to read it with me, because I want to make sure I get it right. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. John, having received the greatest revelation of prophetic events, and as they're concluding, he now writes, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, let these words that we're about to read indelibly be inscribed upon your spirit. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. That word behold there is the Lord of glory crying out to mankind and saying, I want your attention right now. Behold, I make all things new. What are you talking about here, Pastor, concerning peace and having our minds stayed upon Jesus Christ? I'm talking about when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out of the fire, the smell of smoke wasn't on them. He made all things new for them. He took the burn out of the fire. He created a new supernatural situation for them. Even though they killed several men getting them into the fire, the smell of smoke was not on them. And when the king looked in that fiery furnace, he said, my math's getting bad. We threw three of them in there. And there's a fourth one walking around in there with them. And he looks like the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. God is able to make all things new in your life. No matter what he calls you to go through, on the other side of it, if you'll believe him, he can make it new, and in other words, make it like the trouble that you should have faced and the stigma that should have been attached to you for having gone through what he called you to go through. God Almighty can make it brand new and make it like it never happened. Hallelujah! Somebody give him praise today. Behold, 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 I make all things new. That means no matter what you face, no matter how great the difficulty in this coming year or that you may be in right now, keep your mind stayed on him. He'll keep you in perfect peace through it. And on the other side of it, as a reward from God, and the Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. On the other side of it, he's going to show you how he stood with you every step of the way. And when he brings you out of it, he's going to show you his power in making all things brand new. In other words, making it like it never even happened and giving you greater blessing than you would have ever had he not taken you the rough and difficult way. I wish... I don't feel I've said this very well today, but I'm going to try and reiterate it again. When God really loves you, when God really loves you and you're in his favor, more oftentimes than not, he's going to take you through a very arduous, difficult process. To teach us, not to be mean to us, but he wants us to know he is enough. He wants us to know his power and his ability to sustain and to make all things new. And you say, will he really do it for me? Let me tell you something. Lady Jane, that day, she stood firm in her faith. She lost her earthly life in this mortal coil. But her next conscious thought was one of total and complete victory in a body that will never grow out or never grow old, dwelling with her Lord and Savior, whom she stood for, as Jesus Christ fulfilled his promise and gave her a new life in glory with him. I've shared this with you before. It's amazed me in a small church like we have, the trials and difficulties that people in this small body have had to go through over the last year. And I was in prayer about it one day. I've shared this once, but it's worth sharing again. I was seeking God's face. And I said, Lord, we're just a small little body of believers. We love you. We want your truth. But I said, we ain't nobody. Why are we being fought so hard? And the Holy Spirit had to grab me and correct me. He said, first of all, your faith is in the right place. The church's faith, they've been taught by my word to put their faith exclusively in me. That makes you very dangerous to the powers of darkness. And he hates what you believe and what you stand for as a church and as individuals. But what he's trying to destroy you with, I'm going to take and turn it into a blessing. And I will have shown you and the people in your body that I am totally sufficient and that my promises are true. And that my power and my peace and my grace will be given as much as is needed. And then I broke and I saw it. I said, that's it. That's it. To look at this little body in the natural, what threat are we to the kingdom of darkness? In the natural, I said. But the faith of this church is anchored squarely on Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Now that's not theologically deep, I know, but there are so few churches and believers out there today who have their faith anchored exclusively in Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross. And the cross is the only thing that makes hell tremble. The power of the atonement is the only force in this universe that makes Satan's knees knock. We can put on silly army uniforms like they did years ago and turn east, west, north, and south and shout at the devil. He laughs at such foolishness. But when you talk about people putting their faith in the cross, Satan knows that spells total and complete victory for everyone who has their faith there. Therefore, he must launch an all-out attack to destroy that faith in some way, to try to convince the individual who has his faith in Christ and him crucified that it will not work. Look at all the difficulty it's causing you. God, on the other hand, is seated in heaven saying, have you considered my servant? Hallelujah. Have you considered my servant who has his faith in me, whom I bless and whom I uphold? Hallelujah. Just like he did with Job. Job was a righteous man, and look at all that fell upon him. But he held on to faith in God. Yeah, he went down some little nuanced avenues of getting into self-will and pride and self-doubt. But the same Holy Ghost that sustained him is the same Holy Ghost that sustains you and I. And in the end of it all, Job was doubly blessed in every area of his life because God made all things new for him. Somebody give him praise. So if you keep your mind stayed upon him, he'll keep you in the midst of your darkest hour in his perfect peace. And in that difficult time, he's pointing us to him and proving to us he is totally sufficient to see us through the difficulty. And when he brings us out of it, and he will do it. On the other side of it, he says, behold, I've made it all new now. The things you feared that would happen, the things, the fears, the doubts you had about how you'd never be able to recover from this. You kept your faith in me. And I'm Jehovah Jireh. Behold, I make all things new. Wow, what a promise. Doesn't that send waves of confidence through your spirit to know that's the kind of God we serve today? Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, today we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, some I know are going through the trial of intense difficulty today. And Satan has hurled circumstance and difficulty, but Father, you've allowed it to be so. You have allowed it to be so. He cannot touch one of us except you allow it. And Lord, I pray today that you'll open our spiritual eyes to see what's going on. Through the tumultuous difficulty, you're proven that you're enough, that your promise is true, that you will keep us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed upon you. And not only will you keep us in perfect peace until the hour of victory, which will come, when that hour of victory comes, you'll make all things new. You'll make the situation with your ability and with your blessing like it never even happened in the first place. And so bless us beyond our wildest dreams, beyond our most magnificent thoughts. That's why we can look to the future confidently today, because we know who holds our future and we know who holds our hand. Lord, today I'm asking next to the last service we'll have in 2008. And I'm asking in Jesus' name for the Holy Spirit of God to move deep in us today and to give us a fresh revelation of the great benefits we possess in Jesus Christ. Lord, and those benefits are that you'll keep us in perfect peace. Lord, those benefits are not that we'll never feel a pain, we'll never face heartache, we'll never shed a tear, not that we'll even doubt or question why, God. But in those times that you're working on us, you'll send us your peace. And that peace is always predicated upon your grace. In other words, Lord, I'm talking to somebody right now. You've loved everything that's been preached this morning, but the enemy's telling you right now, yeah, but I don't deserve it. You don't know what I've done. I love the Lord and I've kept my faith in him, but there's been times in the midst of my trial or circumstance, I've slipped, I've stumbled, I've fallen, and I've said or done things that I knew were wrong in the midst of it. The Holy Ghost is saying to that one this morning, I'm not blessing you and I'm not giving you the peace predicated upon your performance. I'm giving it to you based upon your faith in my Son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody really needs to hear that this morning. He is doing these wonderful things for you even now because you kept your faith in him. You didn't do everything perfect along the way. You didn't handle certain situations just right. But you kept your faith in him. Even when you didn't understand and you became angry and upset and maybe cried out and felt about even leaving his grace and mercy. But something went down in your soul and kept you believing. That's Holy Ghost power, church. That's Holy Ghost power. You were at the end of yourself, but he came and he gave you grace and he gave you strength and he gave you fresh faith to keep on believing him. You didn't have it. He gave it to you. Look back over your life right now. Oh God, I feel a heavy anointing of the Holy Ghost right now. Look back over your life right now. He's taken you through the fire or a fiery trial of some type if you've walked with him for any time at all. I know that because that's how God builds faith and trust and proves himself to us. He takes us through the fiery trial. Think of the deepest, darkest one you faced that he brought you through. And now that you're on the other side of it, did he not without fail make it new for you? And made it like it never even happened and blessed you. You say, how can you know all this, Pastor? I know what this Bible says about him. I've learned a little bit about his great character, his great love, his great grace, and his great mercy. And I know when the Word of God says, He will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And when the Word of God says, Behold, I make all things new. He's given me just a little bit of faith and revelation to know that those things are true. Because He's taken me through the fire. He's taken me through the fire. So in the coming year, church, keep your mind stayed on Him. And you'll have perfect peace. I'm not saying that you'll never face a difficulty, a trial, something that's going to spiritually make you want to pull your hair out, something you're not going to understand, something that might be very hurtful. Because Satan hates what you believe. See, Satan tempts you to prove you wrong. God tests you to prove to you that He's sufficient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand to your feet? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask the question this morning. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? Please, every head bowed and every eye closed, be reverent to the moving and operation of the Holy Spirit right now. Are you right with God? If you answered a quick, yes, I'm right with God, let me ask you a second question. Why do you believe you're right with God? Are you saying, oh, Pastor, well, I try to be good. I try to be kind to people. God must love me. No, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Man at his very best does not meet God's standard of perfection. Therefore, man needs a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only perfect one. And that's why faith must be laid exclusively on Him for you to be right with God. If you answered my question in any other way, are you right with God? If you answer that question in any other way, except my faith is in Jesus Christ and His shed blood, that's what makes me right with God. If you do not answer my question in that way, I take no pride or pleasure in telling you this, but you're not right with God. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ and faith in it can make man righteous in the sight of a holy God. I want to ask you again now, are you right with God this morning? Are you right with God this morning? The Holy Ghost is calling somebody today. I sense it with all of my heart. You might have been raised in church. You might have been religious your whole life. But you've never came to the cross of Christ and put your faith and trust exclusively in Him for your salvation and for your justification before a holy God. I want you to think for just a moment. Somebody's making the most important decision that could ever be made. Are you right with God? Let me tell you this. He loves you enough that He sent His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross for you. And I'm not saying if you come to Christ, you're never going to have a problem again. You're never going to suffer a pain again. No, that's not true. But what I am saying is if you want to be right with a holy God, if you want to experience His offer of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood is the only way that can transpire. And you say, what do you mean by faith, Pastor? I mean you trust in Jesus and what He did for you on the cross. And at that point in time, God imputes His righteousness to you, charges His righteousness to your sinful account, and wipes it clean. That's done on the basis of faith alone, not on performance, not on being good, because nobody can be good enough. But He loves you. He loves you today. And He wants to make you right with Him. Do you want to be right with Him? There's only one way. Is there anybody who would say now by uplifted hand, I've never understood that before, Pastor, and I've never exclusively put my faith in Christ and what He did for me on the cross, but I want to today. Would you slip up a hand unashamedly right now? I promise you I won't embarrass you. Are there any at all? I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for me on the cross today. Are there any at all? But I'm going to ask everyone who would you come and present yourself at the altar of the Lord? Holy Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus, we come to You today. Lord, some coming need a fresh touch of that perfect peace that passes all understanding. In some way, we all need a fresh touch of Your grace today, Lord Jesus. In some way, we all need a renewal in spirit and a fresh revelation of who You are and the great benefit we have in You as our Savior. Father, as we stand around this altar today, we come to You, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we ask today that every fear, and everything that has our mind beset and troubled would melt away in the white hot liquid love of Jesus Christ and His assurance of a holy future, a prosperous future, and a glorious future that we have in Him. Go deep in us today, Holy Spirit of God. Go deep in us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Do Your mighty office work in our hearts and lives today. Lord, show us You're able to make all things new. And I feel that so strongly at this altar service today, to hone in on that scripture, "Behold, I make all things new." He made you a new creature in Him, in Jesus Christ. And if He can do that, He can certainly make a new situation out of what you think is going to destroy you, out of what you think is going to spell the end in some way for you. Just believe Him this morning. Just believe Him. Just believe Him. Would everyone just lift their hands right now as a sign of submission to Him? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus today, we submit to You. We submit to Your will and Your way. And though sometimes it be rough and jagged, Lord, and difficult, we acknowledge You're in control. We're going to ask You to give us the grace to keep our minds stayed upon You so that we might have Your perfect peace, Lord. So that we might be able to perform things that we never thought we could, but we'll do them predicated upon Your power. Upon Your power, Lord. Not upon our strength. Forgive us, Lord. We repent for trusting in our human intellect and our human abilities. We look unto Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith right now. Oh, I just feel faith bursting inside of me today to put this across. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. You're going to have victory. Victory cannot be taken away from you as long as you keep your faith in Jesus Christ. And He's going to make it brand new for you. When it's all over and done, He will make it brand new for you. Oh, hallelujah, what a God we serve. We give You praise and honor and glory today, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, we acknowledge today that You are all sufficient. You're all powerful and altogether glorious. And our future is solid. Our future is secure. And our future is glorious. And our future is victory. For behold, You make all things new. Praise God. Praise God. Would you give him a hand of praise today? Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I feel like shouting a little bit this morning. I feel victory in this house today. Victory is yours, church. Victory is yours. It can't be taken from you. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Praise God. Behold, He makes all things new. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been good to be in God's house with you today. And I would remind you, on Wednesday night, we're going to have a prayer and communion service to start the new year. Please come and be with us if you can. We'd love to see you. And should I not get to see you again, I was going to say you have a blessed and prosperous new year, but I'm going to speak as a prophet. I know if your faith is in Jesus Christ, you're going to have a blessed and prosperous new year, because behold, He makes all things new. Amen? Praise God. Pastor Brian, I'm going to ask you if you would. It's such an honor to have you with us today. Would you come dismiss us in prayer?